much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Good morning, good morning. Okay, let's get this party started.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I feel happy of myself.
I feel happy of yourself too.
What, do you got any words of wisdom? What about for all the other kids trying to learn how to ride their bike? Can you say anything to them?
Everybody, I know you can believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, you will know how to ride a bike. If you don't, you just keep practicing. You will get the hang of it, I know it. If you keep practicing, you will get the hang of it. And then you can get better and better at it if you do it.
Give me some thumbs up.
Thumbs up, everybody.
All right.
And now.
No English? Yes, English. Just tell me where you're at with English.
Our feature presentation.
I speak a little English, but not well. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Wednesday morning. Hey, Allie McKay.
That little boy motivates me.
Is he the greatest little kid?
Best.
I think that's from a couple years ago, maybe, and it's exactly what you thought. He was learning how to ride a bike, and he was trying to share his wisdom with other little kids. His dad was filming him, and there's no way to tell. I'd love it if you could catch up with the viral video stars, you know, from the past and see where they're at today. But don't you sense that kid's going to be okay?
He's doing all right. He was raised right. He's just out there motivating people, probably at the grocery store.
I mean, I'm going to be super, super sad in 5 years if we find out he's, you know, dropped out of school and is on heroin and living on the streets, because that's not the future I envision for that young man. I want to see that young man be a leader of tomorrow, because, I mean, so far, I mean, like you said, he's inspiring to us.
He is.
And we know how to ride a bike. Anyway, how are you? How was your night? Do you anything fun?
No, thank you.
Leave your house?
Nope. Caught up on Aquarius, though.
See that.
Chip and I are texting back and forth, and I found out, and I need to check into it, that you can actually watch it on iTunes, and there's some nudity. What?
Who's nudity?
I don't know.
That makes a difference.
But unrated, so maybe boobies. I don't know.
I wonder, that's interesting to me, because how often does that happen that they even bother shooting an unrated version of a network television show?
Somebody might be lying to me, which is very possible, but I like the thought of it.
Is there anyone, but it's unlikely that it would be Dave who would be naked, right? I mean, he's too big a star for that nonsense. I assume it's just his parade of female co-stars, I would imagine, if it's like most Hollywood productions.
Could be, but the guy playing Charles Manson, I'm down.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you do a little iTunes investigation and get back to us on that
and
let us know what choice we should be making. So their plan to get people interested by releasing all of the episodes after the first one aired seems to be paying off, at least for you two ladies.
Yeah, you can watch it either on NBC.com or on demand. Or apparently an unrated version on
iTunes. How about
iTunes.
Hulu Plus? Is it on Hulu?
I think it's on Hulu Plus, too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Aquarius, good tip. And that's back on the air tomorrow night, episode 2, for people who are watching on the TV. All right. Got a big show today, a lot to talk about, but I want to start with this. If you are a wealthy person, obviously your life is not guaranteed to be happy, but certainly in many ways it can certainly be easier than people who have to struggle to pay their bills and get their chores done. There are a number of startups in San Francisco that are basically just doing everything that your mom used to do for you. You almost don't have to do any of the icky stuff anymore. Here's a new one that made a lot of news this week. Was revealed on Monday. It's called Trash Day. It's a new app. They are in the process of trying to get some money together to put this app out. And basically, tell me if you think something like this would be a success in a city like San Francisco. You sign up for the app, and for a monthly fee, they come to your house. You set it up ahead of time, you know, with the people that you give the key to or whatever. They come to your house. They gather up your trash, put it in the bin, take it outside to the curb on your trash day, and then come back the next day and roll the cans back up to the side of your house or apartment.
Come on.
That is a service that you can pay for if this app goes through.
How lazy now, are we? Come on. It's trash. Once a week. Bring it to the curb.
I think there are a lot of people who either hate that job, forget what day the trash is, perhaps travel a lot, and they're not, they may not be there on trash day. In a city like San Francisco, I feel like this might work.
Maybe a parking app would be a lot better.
Yeah, well,
somebody
believe me.
Somebody moves your car on street sweeping days type of thing.
Yep.
Did
hey,
I just come up with an app?
Another good idea.
Sure.
I mean, I have heard of, you know, for a small monthly fee, you can get almost anything done. I mean, there's the company I heard about, and I think they're in Southern California, that you you pay them, and they come out and clean up the dog poop in your yard. So that's a job you don't have to do anymore. Here's a couple of the other startups in San Francisco in the last couple of years that are doing business. There's one called HomeJoy, and it's basically it's a cleaning service where you have somebody comes in. That's pretty standard. I mean, we've had cleaning people forever. All right.
Sure.
There are a number of ways to get food delivered. Sprig is one. Mm-hmm. Spoon Rocket is one. Munchery is another. They all deliver your meals on demand. So you got that. There's another app called Kitchit, which is where you have a personal chef come and cook in your home. You can arrange that via app.
Huh.
Let me see. There are a number of laundry apps available now. One is called Washio. One is Rinse. They will come to your house, pick up your laundry and or dry cleaning, take it out, get it done, reinstall it, bring it back to your house.
I don't hate that. That is good.
A lot of people don't either have the time or interest in doing their own laundry. Of course, we've heard about TaskRabbit, which a lot of people use for anything. You can have people line up and wait for concert tickets if you want, or go to the post office for you, whatever you have to do. Let's see. Here's one called Latote. I haven't heard about this one before. It lets stylists choose for you, and they send you clothing and accessories picked out by a personal stylist, and it's a Netflix-like subscription service where every month you get a new batch of clothes and accessories to wear.
Huh. That's kind of nice.
Do anything for you?
Yeah, I don't hate that either. And you can you send them back or do you keep them?
Yeah, you send it back. You send it back. It's like a once a month type thing.
Huh.
And then you get a new batch, so you always refresh your wardrobe, and you pay a lot less than if you had to buy them. There are a number of grocery shopping apps, including Instacart is one. They go out. Have you used them?
I have.
And do grocery shopping for you?
Not only will they go do the grocery shopping, they will go to multiple places, such as a Costco or a Ralph's or a Bristol Farms, and deliver to you.
Nice.
I support Instacart wholeheartedly.
I had not heard about
yes,
that.
Yes, especially if you need like a pallet of Diet Dr. Pepper. You don't maybe have a car that's big enough. Not to live in, Chip, I see you, but to deliver it to your house and they'll walk it in? Yes, Instacart.
I suspect that if we went to Allie's house, you have a garage?
I do.
I bet you have 144 cases of Diet Dr. Pepper in your garage.
It's my best.
And here's one more. There's another one that was new and interesting to me. This is a service called Duffel, D-U-F-L. And what they do is so that you never have to carry a suitcase on a trip, they will mail your suitcase to you. You coordinate with them and tell them where you're going and which hotel you're at, and they will mail your suitcase to you. And then you have a label on it, and they mail it. It gets mailed back.
Huh.
So you give them whatever it is you want in your luggage, and then they take care of getting it to your destination so you don't have to carry it with you when you fly.
I wonder how much cheaper that is than because you have to check bags. It tends to really add up.
Right. Yeah. Huh. I don't know. But anyway, the point is, if you're rich enough and a little inventive, you can just lay in your bed all day and have everybody do everything for you all the time.
This probably wasn't the best thing to tell me.
That is the that's the life that I was hoping for anyway. All right, let's get into today's all-new Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
What is failure?
Well, we're about to find out, kids, so stick around. Got more tickets for Jurassic World. Get a chance to see it ahead of it opening up. Ralph will take care of that for you today. We also are going to talk about the TSA that is in the news. I love this story, by the way. They do random testing. Outside agencies do random testing of the TSA at airports to see how effective they are. In the most recent test, the TSA missed 95% of fake guns and bombs going through their locations. President Obama came out yesterday, or at least his spokesperson came out yesterday and said, the president is convinced that the fine men and women of the TSA are doing a good job in keeping America's skies safe.
Huh.
How How is 95% failure rate evidence of anybody doing a good job?
Well, he doesn't have to worry about it. He's on Air Force One.
That's true. We're going to be looking for your prescription drug disaster stories today. If you've had a fun or funny or dangerous experience on Ambien or Xanax or something like that that you just couldn't believe your friends and family told you about after you came out of your prescription drug haze, we're going to want to hear from you in the 7 o'clock hour. Also, actor Dermot Mulroney on the program. He's in the new Insidious movie. We got him. Hannibal comes back tomorrow night. Speaking of Aquarius, it's on right after Aquarius on NBC. We'll talk to the creator of that great show, Brian Fuller, on the program today, and all sorts of showbiz beat with our friend Ralph Garman. That gets us started next right after this on K-Rock. World famous K-Rock, it's 106.7 KROQ. We got your Incubus tickets. We got your Deftones tickets August 28th at the Forum or August 29th at Irvine Meadows. We got a chance for you to win them a couple different times on the program today. And then you qualify for the grand prize drawing we do Monday morning where we get you to backstage to meet the band. You get to bring them out on stage. It's a pretty cool deal. One of those experiences, Ralph, that you can't buy. You can only win from K-Rock.
Oh,
those
I can buy it.
You can't buy that.
Oh, you can buy anything in this
world.
You
can't buy your own dressing room and
it's
a meeting with the band.
It's all about consumerism, man. I can buy it all.
You can't, but they're not going to let you
on
stage.
I'm buying it. How much you need? I got a blank check. What do you want? I'm buying it.
It's not for sale.
I'm buying it.
Giving it away.
You're kidding yourself, man.
Tickets coming up this morning on K-Rock. Ralph is here. How was your night last night, man? Do anything fun?
Oh, it was just magical.
Yeah. So?
A lot of magic. I was doing a lot of magic tricks. I was pulling rabbits out of hats. I was turning water into wine. Oh, no, wait a minute. That was the other guy. That wasn't a magic trick.
Sometimes you get you and Jesus confused.
Yes.
Hard to keep you both straight.
It was a quiet evening at home for the Garmins. You know, the kid is finishing up nursery school,
mm-hmm.
and then she's preparing for summer camp,
college,
which leads into kindergarten. So a lot of turmoil, It turns out when you have a five-year-old brain, you don't process things like everybody else does.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you sense change is happening, and you're excited, but you're also terrified, but you can't really put it into words, and it's hell being a little kid. It's good.
Well, Olivia.
I get the sense that it's just confusing and terrifying a lot of the time for small children.
You know, you think
childhood is just, this time of bliss and wonderment, and, you just skip down the street and pick dandelions. Well, it's not the case. When you watch your kid grow up, you realize there's a ton of stuff going on in that tiny little brain that they just haven't learned how to sort yet. And it's hard to watch your kid go through that. So there was a little bit of drama in the Garmin household last night.
That makes a lot of sense because, I mean, you talk about summer camp, and now you're trying to explain to a kid who has lived in the same house her whole life, you're going to be living someplace else for a while.
Easy. You don't send your 5-year-old on sleepaway camp. What's wrong with you?
Well, whatever. I'm just saying as an example.
Do you know nothing about this race that you joined when you came down from your planet? When your spaceship landed, didn't they give you some sort of manual so you could understand just the basics of how we live?
Did you think she was going away for three months?
Did you think I was going to send her to Camp Lackawannakan?
Sure.
And she was going to sleep in a bed at 5 somewhere else?
Honey, these bad people are coming. They're going to take you away. You may not get to come back.
It's a day camp situation. And it's at her new school, so this is a way that they ease the kid into the transition of going to the new school in September is they have a short little summer camp at the campus of the school so that she gets to meet the new staff and gets familiar with her surroundings and stuff so that September doesn't come as a shock to her.
That's what they tell the kids, and then they lock them in a cage and make them wrestle a tiger.
Not what they tell them at all. I know what they tell them because I'm the one telling.
Okay.
It's a transitional thing, but she's been to one school with one group of kids her whole life, and now she's going into that next chapter, which can be paralyzingly terrifying when you're 13 or 14 or 18. So for a 5-year-old, she's wigging out a little bit. So
Does she have any friends going to this school?
She's got a handful of kids that she went to nursery school with. They're going to be in the new school as well, yeah.
Okay.
Not necessarily be in class with her because there's a couple different kindergartens. But anyway,
you don't want to tell her she's going to be fine.
She is going to be fine. That's the problem.
Sure. That's what they tell
her. You're trying to convince her she's going to be fine, but she senses the change in the air, and it's hard for her to articulate and to talk about her feelings because she's wigging out.
Very perceptive. Hey, look, I'm down with that struggle.
Well, I know you don't like change.
I know where she's coming from.
You're like a 5-year-old in a lot of ways, really, when you think about it. Anyway, so yeah, it was a challenging evening. One of those parents' challenges that you go through that you don't see coming necessarily, but
the kind of challenge that you realize I have no idea what I'm doing. I am just winging it.
You look, if you love your kid and you care for your kid, most of this stuff comes naturally. I mean, the knowledge of what you should be doing, what you need to do, is there. It's the tools of how do I express that? How do I communicate with that child? How do I get through? That's the hard part, is you're constantly trying to find a way to get your point across to them in a way that they can understand. You're always translating everything down to a 5-year-old level. So that is the challenge, is to try to get your adult thought process, and you know what you need to say, you know how they need to think, but how do you translate into a way that they can wrap their tiny little minds around and get...
We've had to explain news stories to Kevin. It's a very similar set of skills.
I have had excellent training. That's why I'm really good dad, because I'm used to dealing on a 5-year-old level so often here with Isaac Nod coming in.
By the way, for those keeping track at home playing the Kevin and Bean home game, Kevin is still sick and still not coming in.
But we hope to see him tomorrow.
Right. Exactly.
All right. I have just burned through the entire showbiz beat with my prattle. You've made me prattle, and now there's no time for show business news.
But this was a nice pull back the curtain behind the scenes on the Happy Family Garden.
Nope. There are people yelling in their cars right now. Shut up, asshole. What about Iggy Azalea marrying Nick Young? Well, we'll get to that in the next hour, I promise you. In the meantime, let's take a look at celebrity birthdays. Kerry King, guitarist for Slayer, is 51 years old today. Oh, I wish Mike Cathro was here today. He would just be pitching a pup tent all morning long.
I'm sure it's a holiday for him.
Oh, he loves him some Slayer, and he loves Kerry King.
Were you here, Ralph, when we got Kerry King on the phone as a surprise to Mike one year?
I was here for that, yes. I've been on the show for a while now, Bean.
I didn't remember how long ago that was. Yeah, he never really recovered from that conversation with Kerry King. It was one of the greatest days of his life.
Did you think maybe it was back in the days when Mike Cathwood worked on the show before I did?
No, but I thought that you could have been off on vacation or filming a movie. Or
one of those sleepaway camps they send 5-year-olds to.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes you just don't come back from those either. That's what's true. Scary about those, man.
Look, I've seen Friday the 13th. I've seen those films. Actor James Purfoy is 51 years old today. TV host Anderson Cooper, or Aku, as we call him around here. Uh-huh. No, we've never called him that. He's 48 years old. And actress Imogen Poots, the prettiest girl with the ugliest name, is 26 years old today. When you think of an Imogen Poots, you don't think she's going to look like that.
No.
I think she could look like a librarian with one of those large moles with a hair in it on her face.
Sounds like something you need a vaccination for, truly.
You got the Imogen Poots again?
I'm afraid so, yeah. Bad news.
Take a little Kaopectate. That'll clear that right up for you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Strokes from their first album on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Thanks a lot for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. Brian Fuller, creator of Hannibal, on the program today, and actor Dermot Mulroney as well. So, a lot of people, Allie, have made the argument that the government is not the most effective organization in the world.
What?
That perhaps they spend a lot of money for very little return. And if you have felt that way about the TSA, then you got a big hunk of red meat to chew on, because this report that came out earlier this week, Monday, this report came out, that undercover agents were able to smuggle bombs and guns through TSA checkpoints. 95% of the time. Like, what's the point of even screening if you're going to miss 95% of what's going through?
Are tweezers getting through?
I bet they're not.
Right?
I bet tweezers they're finding. It's bombs strapped to your back, you're not. Listen to this news report about how it all went down.
TSA officers failed 95% of the time during undercover operations designed to test their ability to detect explosives and weapons at airport security checkpoints.
These are anomalies that TSA screeners and or their equipment should locate and at least flag for an additional screening.
Teams with the Department of Homeland Security Inspector General's office posed as passengers and attempted to pass through airport checkpoints with mock explosives and weapons. A government official with knowledge of the results say TSA failed 67 out of 70 tests.
Is it the technology that's failing, or is it the screeners themselves not following proper protocol? If TSA's screening equipment is failing and not doing the job, that's a larger systemic issue that TSA needs to address.
Look, if these numbers were reversed and they were only catching 95% of what went through, that's not good enough, right?
Absolutely.
5% of
67 out of 70.
Yeah. So the acting administrator for the Transportation Security Administration has been reassigned. There is a new man at the helm. He says he's going to clean things up. We've got that man on the phone with us right now. This is Mr. Mark Hatfield joining us on KROQ. Hi, Mr. Hatfield. Thanks for coming on, sir.
Oh, my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, this is kind of a black eye for your agency. How do you explain the spectacular failure rate in this study?
Well, first of all, let me say that I take umbrage to you saying it's a black guy. There wasn't a black guy who did it at all. It was we have all different sort of ethnicities working at TSA. We have white people and Hispanic people. And
I didn't say anything about a black guy.
They're not to blame.
No, a black eye. I'm saying it's a black eye, the study's results, yes.
Color me embarrassed. Okay. Well, look, it's not ideal. We recognize that. We've got room for improvement here at the TSA. But what you need to remember is that flyers in America have never been safer, quite frankly. And the TSA is doing a heck of a job. And this is really just, I think it's just sort of a weird anomaly. It's just, it's just sort of a one-off. Or
67 out of 70 tests.
Or a 67 off, then, if you will. But these things are fine. In fact, I'm here at a security checkpoint right now.
Okay.
At O'Hare Airport in Chicago. And
I am personally overseeing
the TSA training and the actions of our personnel here. And I got to tell you, they're doing a heck of a job. And just go ahead. No, go ahead. No, don't worry about it. Go ahead through.
So, shouldn't you be checking them if it's beeping?
It's probably nail clippers or something. I'm not that worried.
Right,
about
but it might not be. That's the whole point. That's why additional screening may be required for that passenger.
Well, here's the thing you have to remember too: the undercover TSA officers who were posing as passengers were wearing mock bombs, and we're not trained to find fake bombs. We have to find real bombs. So we can't waste our time with mock bombs. Right?
Okay,
right?
No, not at all. The mock bombs simulate what it would be like is if somebody went through with a real bomb. They look the same.
But we're busy finding the is, not the as if. Just go through. Don't worry about it. There's a long line. Go.
Go over to that pasture and pat him down or something at least, Mark.
Find quarters. I don't need pocket change. We got bigger fish to fry here at the TSA. You know, we check all kinds. There's multi-layers of protection here at the TSA. Would you just walk through? Thank you. We've got canines. We've got, of course, the metal detectors. We've got reinforced cockpits now. Screening at check.
Oh no.
That was someone with bad gas at the airport. Someone ate at the Zabarro, I guess, in the food court. But
really? Because it sounds like a bop. Now
oh,
what?
Wow.
Oh, geez.
We're good. It's fine. Just keep going, folks. Run to your planes. Run! Just go ahead through. Let the wolf through.
Well, they're a wolf and O'Hare.
I don't know. What am I? I'm a veterinarian now? I work for TSA. I'm not somewhere in there. $6 million man. Now we all feel safer. He's bionic. He'll take care of any problem. We got a T-Rex coming through now, but they don't fly. He won't even fit in the plane. Don't worry about it. Oh, all right. Now Klingons apparently are trying to get on the plane. And there's a guy with a big boner. So everything will be fine. Don't worry about it.
Take us to the KROQ screening of Jurassic World coming up on the program today. Also, KROQ Microbrew Belmont Steaks Party. We got those tickets for you and more for Incubus and Deftones playing in August. Get all the details about that on KROQ.com. All right, story yesterday everybody was talking about involves a motorcyclist getting hit by a car. Allie, I think you're right on this one. I think there's going to be more to this story that's coming out. Hello, Allie, you there?
Yes.
There
yes.
you are, yeah. Here's the story. There's a motorcyclist named – hi, Ralph. How are you, man?
Good.
There's a motorcyclist named Samuel Ayers who recently uploaded a video on YouTube of an incident that happened on March the 26th. He's on a motorcycle, and he pulls up next to a guy who is at a stoplight. Guy's in a BMW, and the guy is apparently, according to Samuel, talking on his phone and texting on his phone at the same time. Perhaps
it's
unwisely.
Hard to do.
Yeah.
Perhaps unwisely, Mr. Ayers says this to the driver next to him in the lane.
Put down your f***ing phone. You're in your car.
All right. So he's going all Clint Eastwood on this guy, basically trying to enforce the laws. So the light turns green. He pulls away from the intersection. And Allie, what do you think happens next before the accident? Because you're watching, this guy's got a GoPro camera on his helmet, and yeah. It doesn't look like he's just going in a straight shot and the BMW then finds him, overtakes him, and knocks him down, right?
No, it appears he keeps looking around, looking to the right, which is odd because he was hit from the left. But it appears that he's slowing down, speeding up, which he claims he was doing to retain a safe space with reaction time.
So you think that the feud continued out of the intersection and the motorcyclist was perhaps trying to intentionally antagonize the guy because they'd kind of exchanged words there at the light, maybe?
I don't feel like he was just driving straight ahead going the speed limit. I feel like maybe something else is happening here.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't there, but just judging obviously from the video, something's off.
Okay.
What do you think was happening? I don't understand what you're saying.
The driver was now behind him.
Right. So you think the motorcyclist was purposely slowing down?
Yes, which he admits to. But he says he was doing it to retain a safe reaction time, which doesn't make
sense to me. What was in front
of
him?
Exactly.
I see. Okay.
So whatever ended up, whatever transpired in that 30 seconds after they pulled out of the intersection, what happened next is not in question, and that is that the BMW driver either intentionally or unintentionally hit the motorcyclist. Here's what that sounds like on the GoPro video. He is down.
And turned on, apparently. What's he doing?
Right,
hand check. Jeez, motorcyclist. What kind of weirdo are you?
We saw that Crash movie, people that get turned on by those things.
Right.
Look, we could all agree that the guy driving the car, who, by the way, was not the owner of the car, which apparently makes this a complicated insurance issue, but the guy driving the car is a dick. We can all agree that there's no reason. If he intentionally hit that motorcyclist because he was upset by what the guy said to him, obviously he's the worst person in the world and they should take his license away. He's a bad, bad man. He should be criminally prosecuted for that. The question I present to the room today is Samuel Ayres a dick for getting into that dude's business who's using his phone at a stoplight and yelling at him to get off your effing phone because you're behind the wheel? Or is he just trying to look out for the greater good and try to make the streets a safer place by trying to get anybody to put down their phone when they're behind the wheel of a car?
He's Batman.
He kind of is Batman. I mean, don't we live in as sad as it is to say this, don't we live in a day and age where people get shot for trying to enforce manners to get people to not talk at a movie theater? I mean, we see
yes.
news stories like
yeah.
that. Like, we're at the point now where no one is allowed to offer an opinion to someone else's bad behavior.
Well, here's the thing. I think bad behavior is one thing, but breaking the law is another thing. And I have no time. I give no quarter to people who talk or text while driving. Mm-hmm. I think it's a deadly combination.
I agree, and I think it is far more prevalent and far more dangerous than drunk driving.
Yes, I do,
because
too.
It's so much more widely done.
Absolutely. And I think it is – I mean, I have told people to get off the phone when they were driving.
Really?
Yes.
And
it's upon us, those of us who follow the rules, who live in an organized society, that you have to try to protect – everyone involved by doing what you can. Now, maybe cursing at the guy was a mistake, but I can definitely understand why he would say that to somebody who was using their phone while driving their car.
He was at a stoplight, though. That's the thing. And granted, illegal in, I think, all of California to be using a phone at a stoplight. But he pulled up next to him, looked over. He's using his phone, talking and texting, which I'm not sure how that works. I just feel like you pulled up next to him, you saw him doing that, you then
you're getting in his business.
I assumed he saw him on the phone leading up to the spotlight. That's the impression that I got from the story.
Oh, now that is possible also.
That he was driving behind this guy and saw him using his phone and then took advantage of the stoplight to pull up next to the guy and then tell him to stop, to get off his phone.
Ralph, what were the give me an example of you talking to somebody. Did you do it at a stoplight in a car that you
I
saw didn't. Somebody driving? Or
no.
did you pull? What did you do?
I did it while the cars were moving. There was someone in front of me who was texting, or they were looking down at their phone. They had their phone in their hand. I could see that. They were looking down the phone. I don't know whether they were texting or reading a message or whatever. But there was a person in the crosswalk, and they went to go forward when the light changed without looking up from the phone. It wasn't those rolling starts where they took their foot off the brake, and someone was still in the crosswalk. And that person was shocked, you know, surprised, and then, you know, bolted out of the crosswalk, hurried across. So the person had their window down, and when I got up to them in traffic, I rolled the window down, and I said, you should pay more attention to the people in the street and less attention to your phone. That's what I said.
Any reaction from the other driver?
Just speeding away, just pulling away from me.
I'm on the motorcyclist's donation page because he is asking for people to donate. Mm-hmm. He said as he was driving to work on his motorcycle, fairly typical commute full of cagers cutting me off, merging into me and generally not paying attention. As I was filtering up to the front of a light, I noticed one particular man in a black BMW texting and talking. So it was at the light when he saw that he was texting.
I feel
anyone who's texting and talking at a light isn't going to automatically turn off their phone and put it down once the light turns green.
No.
Or wasn't talking or texting leading up to that light.
It is certainly possible, but I think there are also people who pick up their phones because they have that downtime at the light and maybe wouldn't use them when they're driving.
Yeah,
I guess
maybe.
We don't know the answer to that. But, I mean, I feel like these days people get shot for saying something about the way you're smoking or the way you're raising your kids or the way you're whatever. I feel like we're at a point now where everybody's kind of in a bubble and you really do take your life into your own hands because you have no idea who that person is that you're now giving life advice to.
But we also live in a world where no one is held accountable for their behavior and everything's permissible and you can do whatever you want.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that's not the answer.
I completely agree. I wish that there were more of a sense of shame for people who are busted for doing things like this. But I feel like, you know, oftentimes the person who says the thing is the person who is now the bad guy, you know, for getting up in somebody's grill or something. Ralph, you remember
this motorcyclist does seem like a dick, which makes it harder to defend him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think he was doing the right thing just in a bad way.
Right. Now, let me ask you about that, because we did a Who's the Dick a couple of months ago when you guys decided that I was the dick for slowing down and saying to a guy who was walking in the middle of the street, dancing, listening to his headphones as he was walking down the street.
Right.
I pulled up next to him, rolled down my window and said, hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but you're in the middle of the street because he was walking down.
That was the right thing to do, but a real dicky way to do it.
Now, how am I – again, I was the dick.
I don't know if you know this or not. He knew where he was. That's why you're a dick.
I don't think he did. I thought he was so involved in the music that he was listening to his headphones.
Right.
He's dancing down the street that he may not have realized.
He stumbled out in the middle of the street and had no idea. Oh, I don't know how to work a sidewalk anymore.
But how is this any different than this guy who basically is just trying to, you know, give his opinion on something the guy's doing that's potentially super dangerous?
Because that guy's super dangerous to others. Walkman guy's only dangerous to himself. He gets hit in the ass by a car.
I didn't want him to get hit by a car.
So what? Whoever. That is Darwin. It's Darwin's theory. It's thinning the herd. But this douchebag on the phone in the BMW, who's not even his car, could plow into somebody or a crosswalk or something and get somebody seriously hurt.
Hey, let's talk to David real quick. We hadn't even actually planned on taking calls, but the phones are blowing up here. Northridge, David, line 3. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, sir. You are a motorcyclist? Is that the deal?
Yes.
All right. What do you think about this? What do you think about this dude?
I think something happened before that maybe the guy lost his lane, was weaving a little bit because he wasn't paying attention, and almost hit him before. That happens all the time to me. I've seen people on the 405 where you'll see their head literally go up, go down, go up, go down, go up, down. You realize they're texting and they're checking their phone, and they'll drop 10 miles an hour, they'll lose the line, they'll come over the line right when you're about to go by them.
Uh-huh.
So my guess is something happened before. The bigger problem is that you're on a motorcycle, they're in a cage, they're going to win every time. So you can't antagonize a car. The only thing you should have done, if you want to say, hey, put down the phone, and then you lose them at the next light so the guy can't catch up to you, but he had open road. The BMW definitely passed him. If you look at the angles, he had to go in the center lane to come around and hit him the way he did. The angles aren't right. I don't know about the slow down or speed up part, but he definitely took the next step to go past the motorcyclist, then come back through him. There's no doubt about that because you can see he's in the opposite lane of traffic when he hit him.
But you're saying, and it's my opinion too, David, this guy should, though, on the bike, should have just taken off and just lost the guy, right?
Yeah, you know, dude, put down the phone and kick it out of there. But, you know, he hung out, and that was his problem. Because a Beamer, I mean, you're not going to beat a, you know, 3,000-pound car is going to take you out
right,
of the day.
Yeah. Right, don't get into altercation.
But
yeah.
you don't have any problem with him saying something to the driver who was using his phone while driving, just like, yeah, like Ralph has.
I do that all day long, every third second. That's pointless.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
you want to see, you know, why are you, you know, get off the phone, you almost hit me, that's one thing. You could, you know, but you can't ride around like Batman saying hi to everybody. Hey, you put down your phone. You
yes,
should
I can.
Walk, you know?
Yes, I can.
And according to this guy's page, it's his actual page. Nothing led up to it. It was at the light when he noticed.
That's his version of the story, too. I mean,
well, no, that if something led up to it, you would put that in your story to get more sympathy. Correct?
Yeah, perhaps. All right. Thank you, Chris. Very good call. We really appreciate it. Let's do one more. Let's do Justin, Los Angeles, line 5, please. Justin, we're almost out of time here, but you got something important to say. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good. So the other day, I actually got run off the road by someone on their phone. I was driving in a lane closest to the curb, and this lady from three lanes over, who apparently had just answered a phone call, swerved over, decided she needed to get off the road, cut into my lane, cut me off. I actually got run up onto the sidewalk. I avoided the accident, but, you know, if I was that motorcyclist, it would be a personal thing, you know, like, get off your phone. I and then take off. I agree with the last guy. He had no business hanging around and antagonizing the guy. That's not smart because, like you said, you know, your car is going to win against a motorcycle. But
so if you're going to do the right thing, make sure you run away like a little girl afterwards.
Look, safe, better safe than sorry, right? If it's a hit and run moral correction, that's better than no moral correction whatsoever.
That's a good point. All right, Justin, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Offspring on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Rob is here once again. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
Speaking of show business, it's back. Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith. We are returning to the Improv on Melrose this Friday night at 10 p.m. Kevin and I talk about all things showbiz news during the week, and we also we get drunk and stoned, respectively. We have a good time.
I don't know what that is, but no.
And then the following week, we're going to be down in Irvine, California. A bunch of folks down in Orange County have been saying, when are you going to come visit us?
Nope.
So we're doing the Irvine Improv on Saturday night next weekend. So Friday night at the Improv on Melrose this week, Saturday night next week. We'd love to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com and then click on the venue of your choice and get tickets and come join us. We'd like to see you there.
Can't f***ing embrace it!
You can't what?
I think the Shia can't embrace it.
Oh, he can't embrace it. Couldn't make out what Shia was saying.
King, embrace it!
That's not how you say that, Shia. You should do better. speaking of tickets to things, this Saturday, the K-Rock Microbrew Belmont Steaks Day Party is happening.
Yay!
Wish they had a wordier name for it.
It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue,
K-Rock
does it?
Microbrew Belmont Steaks Day Party is happening at Santa Anita Park. In beautiful Arcadia, California, these events are always a blast, with a capital bull. You can bet on the ponies, which I love to do. You can drink all day long, which I also love to do. You can eat. You can hang out with your friends. And there's going to be a live performance by the band, the Sweet and Tender Hooligans. Everything kicks off at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning. That's what time the infield opens. You should go to this. And you can join K-Rock guys like Omar and Dave the King of Mexico. Lightning, Super Steve will be there. Our own Miss Double December. Nicole Alvarez. Live racing all day long. And just to give you a little something, if you'd like to go, I've got a 4-pack of VIP tickets for this event. This includes admission for you and three of your friends, backstage access, drink tickets, and $106 in a voucher that you can use to bet on the ponies. You're betting with their money. You can turn that $106 into, I'm guessing, $1 billion.
We got a winner! Nelly.
Play your cards right. So why don't you call me right now for this 4-pack of VIP tickets? Since it's for 4 people, how about caller number 4? 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067. Fourth caller gets this special VIP package for the K-Rock Microbrew at Santa Anita Belmont Steaks Day Party. Iggy Azalea is marrying Nick Young. Swaggy P and Iggy Azalea are getting married. He can no longer recognize his fiancée, but still, he loves her.
She does look very different.
Well, you know, you have your face removed with a sandblaster. That'll do that to you. When they take a belt sander to your nose and add some chin, that'll give you a new look every time. Why did she do that? Why did she do that to her face?
She was very pretty before.
She was beautiful.
I was thinking yesterday, Ralph, and you could argue this point, but I think that Caitlyn Jenner looks more like Bruce Jenner than Iggy Azalea looks like Iggy Azalea from last year.
Yes, I would absolutely agree. And I can't understand for the life of me why she would make the changes that she made. I always thought, look, I always cast aspersions on her rap ability, but I always thought she was a stunning woman.
Yeah.
And now she looks augmented and altered and like something out of a Real Housewives show or something. It's odd.
I mean, she must have had some sort of weird dysmorphia, right?
She must.
She didn't find what she had before attractive.
Right. She looked in the mirror and didn't like what she saw inexplicably, but she sure looks different than she does now. I like the fact that she changed her nose and her chin, and it looks like her eyes even, but she left that big mole on her face. Looks like she got a tick walking through the woods. If you're going to take something off, how about that?
About
the thing
under
that looks like the melanoma there on your chin? Why don't you get that snipped off, lady? Anyway, hope you have a good marriage to Nick Young. Sounds like they're going to have a good time together. 10-carat diamond ring.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal right there.
Was it yesterday that you were telling us she just canceled her whole tour?
Yep.
All right, well, she's got plenty of time to enjoy this honeymoon then.
She's changing her life. Regis Philbin. One of Bean's favorites. Could be coming
back. One of my
five
favorite people in the world.
Could be coming back to television.
Tell me more.
The 83-year-old TV host may be joining the Today Show as a contributor.
All right.
In the show's fourth hour. You know who else works in the fourth hour?
Kathy Lee and Hoda.
That's right. Kathy Lee. I can't believe I'm working with her again. Hoda Kotb.
Kotby.
Right.
Kotb?
Yeah.
That's not a name.
Sure.
Nope.
K-O-T-B. Yep. I worked there in the 90s.
I remember that. You did the afternoons there, didn't you?
I did. And
Kathy Gifford, they do the fourth hour, and it looks like they're trying to reunite those guys.
All right.
Huh. I think Hoda's moving up.
You think she's going to move to the big chair?
Yep.
And is this going to be Reg and Kathy in the fourth hour?
And I think that's smart.
I do, too.
Maybe.
Broadcasting legend.
I thought Regis hated Kathy Gifford, though. That's what I can't understand.
Yeah, I don't know. He's too much of a gentleman to ever say that.
I know, but I got the sense that when she left, he was like, I'm glad she's gone. Gelman, get me the other girl from that sitcom. He didn't know who he was talking about. He's in his 80s. He has no idea. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kerry King, guitarist for Slayer, is 51 years old today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Right.
You.
Yeah.
Eat. Right. So-
What about my mom, though?
Your mom, die,
what?
Die, die.
What?
Your mom, die, die, die.
Come on.
Your mom, die, die, die. Oh. Your mom, yeah.
Slayer fans are a classy bunch. James Purefoy is 51 years old today. Anderson Cooper turns 48. And Anderson, it's just,
sorry.
It's just your birthday. I'm just announcing your birthday, Anson. All right? Pull it together.
He's silly.
I just announced your birthday. That's all. All right? Settle down. Settle. Anderson.
This is embarrassing.
All right? Let me continue, please. Anderson. I don't understand what's so funny. You're 48 years old today. Yeah, that's shut you up. And actress Imogen Poots is 26 years old today. I loved when Imogen Poots put on the sorting hat and she had to go into Clarington House. But she drank her butterbeer with the toad of knowledge.
What's happening right now?
I don't know. Imogen Poots sounds like a character from Harry Potter, doesn't it? Anderson, why are you even in the studio?
Sorry, this actually never happened to me.
Well, get out. I see Cooper coming in here laughing. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
The K-Rock Showbiz Beat is brought to you by Arclight Cinemas. They're giving away a lifetime of movies. Just go to myarclight.com. That's myarclight.com to learn how to enter.
It's pretty cool.
The weather isn't the only thing heating up this weekend. Old Navy's hottest dresses and skirts are all on sale right now, from $15 for women, $10 for girls. Get into the swing of summer with amazing summer skirts, maxi dresses, and more. They're all on sale right now. Plus, hurry in to save up to 40% off chic summer essentials for men and kids too, like shorts from just $12 for men and kids tees from just $5 right now at Old Navy. Select styles only, June 3rd to June 7th.
Beatrice, it's Lightning.
Hi.
I hear you saved mad dough in record time with the auto insurance specialist. Run me through it.
This was back up in October. I didn't have any insurance. The bill was getting a little too high for me. So I heard one of your commercials in the morning, so I decided to call, and it was about 6 in the morning, and they answered.
At 6 o'clock in the morning?
6 o'clock in the morning.
That's crazy, right?
I say by 7 a.m. I already had my cards emailed to me, my insurance cards emailed. Automatic payment was set up. Everything was done.
It's crazy because you got new coverage and saved money before most of us were even awake. How much did you save?
I used to pay about $100 a month.
Okay.
Now I'm paying about $50 a month.
So super fast service in the wee hours of the morning, and you save $600 a year. Give AIS a 1 to 10 grade.
A 10.
For reals.
For reals.
Okay, I believe you. So click on the banner right now to see how much you can save at AISinsurance.com.
1-800-777-4-AIS.
Musicians, it's summer, and whether you're having a backyard party, local club show, or heading out on the road, drop into Guitar Center first and save up to 40% on guitars, keyboards, drums, and other gear on the go. Get a Meinl Birchwood Cajon drum for just $50, an Epiphone Les Paul just $99, or 15-inch powered PA speakers just $149 each. Plus, add a pair of speaker stands for just $59. Get road ready and save up to 40% tomorrow through Sunday at Guitar Center. Don't miss it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 KROQ FM and HD. Pasadena, Los Angeles, Orange County. The world famous K-Rock. Alternative first.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest. Golden grand piano, my beauty focus EOU. Ooh. I'd leave it all. My acres of a land I've achieved. It may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. My many artifacts, the list goes on. If you just say the words, I'll up and run onto you. Ooh, you, ooh, I'd even do. Over you. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Friends and family, they don't understand. They fear they'll lose so much if you take my hand. But for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all. My hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focused EOU. Ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh. Scott-Dee-Vee-Doo.
Actor Dermot Mulroney, later this hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show, the star of the new film Insidious 3. That's coming up. Brian Fuller, creator of Hannibal, next hour as well. Hey, Allie McKay?
Yes, Bean.
You strike me as a glass of wine and an Ambien kind of girl.
Do I?
Yeah.
How dare you? It's vodka or scotch.
Okay.
And Ambien.
Ambien's good stuff, right, though?
I've actually never taken it, but I've seen the effects of fighting the Ambien, if you will.
Really?
Yeah.
You've been around people who have been taking the Ambien? But what's the point of fighting? And if you take Ambien, isn't it because you need to sleep?
Oh, you've never fought the Ambien.
Why would you fight the Ambien, I guess, is my question.
It becomes a whole different experience. So instead of falling asleep, which is what it's prescribed for, mm-hmm. you fight it, and apparently hallucinations.
So you do it on purpose to get the hallucinations.
Right.
Oh, I got to try that.
Yeah. Well, I am not saying you should, but I have seen people and I have talked to friends that are supposed to be meeting us to go out, and their response is, I'm going to stay in. We're going to fight the Ambien. What?
By the way, Chip, if your next band is not called Fight the Ambien, then you're not living your life right. That's fantastic.
I'm writing that down right now.
That's awesome. Although they'd probably see you because it's probably a registered trademark. I'm one of those lucky people. I don't take Ambien very often. I've only taken it a few times in my life. But I am one of those people for whom it works exactly as prescribed. It just puts me off into a beautiful, sound sleep, and I wake up the next day completely refreshed and feeling great. But there are so many horror stories, and not necessarily bad things happening to you, but just things that you do while you're under the influence of Ambien or Xanax or something else that you just have no memory of. And those are the stories. It's been a while since we've revisited this topic. Those are the stories we want to hear from you about right now. The stuff that you did on Ambien or something that you had to be told about the next day, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Here's why this is in the news right now. There's a TV show in Britain called Dirty Sanchez, as I understand it. And it's our Jackass. It's just like Jackass. It's a bunch of bros who do stunts and crazy things and hurt each other and get in silly situations. One of the stars of that show is called Matt Pritchard. He's on a plane. There's actually photographs of this. He's on a plane, and he was very drunk and ended up taking Xanax on this plane. Now, you saw the article. Does it say why he needed Xanax? Was he trying to sleep? Is that what it was?
He wanted to be put to sleep so he could just get on the plane. That was it. Won't remember any of it. But instead, he was drunk when he took the Xanax, which they shouldn't be combined.
Not a good combination.
No.
Yeah, he probably he was super drunk and he thought, you know what, it's a long-ass flight from Britain to America. I just want to sleep and wake up and feel great on the other side. So he takes his Xanax. What he did instead of sleeping that he did not know about until he woke up later is he peed all over Dolph Lundgren.
And he stripped naked, too, which is a big part of my in-flight entertainment.
So he is completely naked, running up and down the aisles of the airplane, and at one point he just peed all over, yes, Dolph Lundgren, you know him from Rocky IV. No memory of it whatsoever. Completely apologized after he woke up. He says that Dolph Lundgren had also forgiven him, saying that he shook his hand and told him not to worry about it, which seems like a very gracious way to accept being peed on by a naked man on an airplane flight. But that's exactly the type of thing. I guess you just have no way of knowing how one of these drugs is going to affect you until you take it, and it does. But craziness, right? Back to Ambien for a second. I had to look this up because it's been a while since it happened, but I remember the story now that I see these details. There have been several cases of people who have committed crimes under Ambien, and it has worked as a defense to various degrees. But this is a woman who went to bed one night, and she woke up hours later in custody and had no idea how she had gotten there. And it turned out that on Ambien, she had gotten out of bed, got dressed, took her dog out, got in the car, started driving around town, ended up getting into a traffic accident, had no memory of any of this. At the scene, the police said she was all glassy-eyed. They booked her for DWI and put her in jail. And she ended up fighting it hard because she had the kind of job that had a security clearance, where something like that, kind of a conviction, would make her lose her job.
Right.
And she ended up winning the case because it says right there on Ambien, hey, you may do things while you're sleeping that you have no memory of. That is one of the side effects of Ambien for some people, for a small percentage of people.
Wow. Wasn't there a congressman or something that he kept getting DUIs and then he realized, oh no, it's every time I take Ambien.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right.
That does sound familiar. That's right. All right, so let's hear some stories from you. What has happened when you've been on Ambien or been on the Xanax or whatever, things that you did while you were asleep that you didn't remember? Has that happened to you? We want to talk to you at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start on line one here, please, Chip? This is in Thousand Oaks, and we get Brett on the line to get us going. Hey, Brett, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for he just hung up on
us. We just lost him.
What happened to Brett?
Ambien.
Brett's a dick. How about line three? We'll go to Orange and talk to Hannah. Hi, Hannah.
Yeah. Hi, good morning, Kevin and Bean, Allie.
Hi.
Ambien talk, we love it.
Xanax talk, actually. I was going out for my birthday, and I was really nervous because I was meeting up with a few people and a guy I'd been talking to. So I took a Xanax, not really thinking about it, really low dose, but I was drinking with it, and the next morning, everyone was like, you got a lap dance from a midget.
Best birthday ever.
And I didn't believe them. I had no idea. And they pulled up a video, and I was sitting there smacking his butt, like loving it.
That is fantastic. So you were having a good time, and you were in a safe place because you were among friends and stuff, but you literally don't remember the whole evening.
I have no recollection of the midget. I thought that they were messing with me. I thought they were joking and just trying to tell me because they thought that I was drunk and I didn't remember. But they showed me the video, and there was definitely a midget lap dance.
That's awesome. Wow. Hey, why did you take the Xanax, by the way? That seems like a weird thing to do kind of on your way out the door with friends.
No, and it wasn't on the way out the door. I had taken it earlier. I just expected it to be kind of worn off because it's
gotcha.
A low dose. And
gotcha.
You know, I wasn't taking it to, like, go party.
Gotcha. All right, great call. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it, Hannah. Let's go to Ian now. Santa Monica, line five, please. Ian, you were up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. You were under the influence of Xanax, it looks like, right?
Correct, Xanax. Been out drinking pretty much till 2 in the morning with a bunch of buddies and a couple of girls. Came back to my house, decided to pop a Xanax, and the girls were sleeping on the couch. I walked downstairs naked and urinated on my kitchen floor, put one paper towel down, poured another drink, and walked back upstairs.
And
the next day, they didn't believe. They told me about it, and I said, you're full of baloney. And they said, go into your kitchen and look. And sure enough, there was one single paper towel on the floor.
Well, I like the attempt at cleaning it up. Just
exactly. You know, that's I guess, the beauty of it. So.
Hey, it's more than your dog ever does. Thank you for the call, Ian. We appreciate it. Rachel, you hang on. Eric as well. Nick, we'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. They're a great band, but my band, Fighting the Ambien, is going to be even better. I'm now committed. Now that we have the name, I'm committed to getting a band going. We are talking about fighting the Ambien or losing to the Ambien. If you've done crazy things under the influence of that plus alcohol or Xanax plus alcohol, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Eric? He is in Diamond Bar on line three. Eric, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. What happened and what were you on?
So a couple of months ago, I was lucky enough to be invited to be in my sister's wedding. So I woke up that day feeling a little nervous, knowing I'd have to be in front of the crowd of a couple hundred people. Ended up taking a Xanax, drinking a little bit. Didn't go, like, overboard, but in the end, what ended up happening was I fell asleep at the reception with a plate of food in front of 200 or 300 of my family members.
Face down in the food.
And, what's that?
Face down in the food?
Not face down in the food, right next to it, though. And I woke up the next day with all my family members asking me, oh, what's wrong, you know? What do we do? What are you doing with your life? And
now, let me ask you, you sound pretty chill. Why did you need the Xanax? You don't seem like a real amped-up kind of guy.
No, I'm not usually amped up at all. It's just, I don't know, it's just an anxiety thing, I guess.
I love that you were nervous. You took it because you were nervous about being in the ceremony and being in front of all those people. And then it went so much worse for you than it would have if you hadn't taken it. That's the greatest part of that story.
That worse.
Exactly. All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. I think you're right, Allie. I don't think Eric needs anything.
He needs no help.
Let's go to East L.A. and speak with our man Rick. He's on line six, and he's up next. Hey, Rick. What's going on, dude? Hey, Rick.
I have three experiences.
Three? You're a guy who does not learn from his mistakes.
Well, I have insomnia, so I need to have a drink before I...
Rick? All right. I enjoyed that. Nick is in Newport Beach. He's up next. He's on line 7. You think Rick just fell asleep right in the middle of that call?
I think so.
Took a Xanax while he was on hold or something?
Yeah, my buddy, it was his 21st birthday, and right before, it was our senior year in college, finals week. He had a brutal schedule. His last, like, three tests all ended up on the day before his 21st birthday at midnight. So he put this big combination of Xanax, sleep, and studying, and somewhere along those lines, he lost track of the date because he was so in and out of, like, groggy sleep. So the night of his 21st at midnight, I'm at the library at, like, 11:45, rush home, sprint into his room. I say, hey, dude, are we going out for your birthday? He's like, what are you talking about? Like, it's not my birthday. I was like, yes, it is. And then everyone else in the room was on kind of his same, you know, schedule. So we're like, what? Like, no way. And sure enough, like, he's like, starts going on his computer. He's like, why am I getting all these Facebook notifications that it's my birthday? I'm like, I told you it's your birthday. So sure enough, after like 15 minutes of arguing, he realized that he has missed his 21st. The college we went to does this big, big thing at midnight for your 21st. He missed all of it. We ended up drinking like 2 beers and he passed out again.
That is fantastic. That is a story that he will remember his 21st birthday so much more than if you guys had just gone out and had a party.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Rhonda. She's up next, Westchester. You know, I've heard lots of stories about people who do things like clean the house or eat or bake a cake or something like that under the influence of Ambien. It sounds like that may be you, right, Rhonda?
Oh, yeah. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Apparently, I would wake up and cook, and I didn't know that. And I one day woke up and painted a really pretty picture. And cleaned up after myself, went to bed. Next morning, I noticed it sitting on the dresser table, and I was like, oh, weird. Didn't really think much of it. And then a couple weeks later, I woke up with a spoon coming toward my mouth. I was eating ice cream at 3 a.m. Don't remember any of it, but I was like mid-scoop.
Isn't that something?
And I was like, what's up? And so I freaked out and Googled it, and I realized people like drive and do all this crazy stuff. So I, of course, got rid of them, and the next day, I was telling my husband, and he's like, yeah, I used to always find dishes next to the sink. And he goes, you do that a lot, I think.
That's a really common side effect of Ambien is people who eat while they're on Ambien and don't remember it. You know, I would just be so terrified. When I've seen those stories too, Rhonda, about people who drive. I mean, I think if I was going to take Ambien and I knew that it had any kind of weirdo effect on me other than just putting me to sleep, I think I would just hide those keys or put them out in the under a bush in the yard or something, because that would be the most terrifying thing in the world to wake up, find yourself driving, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I would be terrified waking up finding out I cook something. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I was telling him. He's like, yeah, you always... I would be a big fry fan. He's like, you probably made a quesadilla. I'm
like, that's awesome.
Because I love quesadillas. So I was like...
All right, Rhonda. We really appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Hey, Brett is back in Thousand Oaks. Let's make him our final call. He's on line 1. Brett, sorry we lost you a minute ago. What were you telling us, dude?
Oh, no, man. I guess apparently my fiance catches me. I take Xanax, and when I wake up from the Xanax high, when I sleep, I cook my ice cream in the microwave.
Well, sure you do.
Apparently.
That's how it's best. You know, so one thing I know about ice cream is the hotter it is, the better it is.
Yeah, there's cereal under the sink and peanut butter under the sink, all kinds of food's just everywhere, man. I don't know how to explain it.
Good times. Thanks for the call, dude. Dermot Mulroney, next on K-Rock. Congratulations to Nico Geranillo from Riverside. Just won tickets for the Forum Show August 28th to see Incubus and Deftones. Got this for you all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. Get all your details at K-Rock.com. And don't forget, Monday morning, we're going to do a grand prize drawing, and maybe Nico will be meeting the bands backstage and introducing them on stage with a K-Rock DJ. Hey, speaking of music, Allie, I didn't know this, but Dermot Mulroney, who joins us on the phone right now, who's in that new Insidious 3 this weekend, mm-hmm. Big time musician.
Oh yeah.
Cello player, right, Dermot?
That's it. Yeah, I play the cello.
That is a beautiful instrument, and
that's
the one for folks who don't know, that's the one that's like a big violin, right?
Yeah, you sit down and you hold it between your knees.
How old were you when you started playing the cello?
My other favorite thing.
You know, we were all thinking that, but you're the only one brave enough to say it, Dermot.
I didn't know quite how to put it, but yeah, there's a joke in there somewhere. Perhaps that's not the good one.
How old were you when you started playing the cello?
I was 7 years old.
And what was that like being
in a public school system in Alexandria, Virginia?
All right. And you continue playing throughout your life. What's that like as a high schooler playing the cello? Do you get beat up a lot, or is that considered a pretty cool instrument?
Never. The cello has never been cool. And I don't think it ever will be. If it's ever going to be cool, it's because of me, man. But I'll tell you, coming up, I'm that nerd sitting on the bus next to a canvas sack holding something that looks like some sort of E.T. alien.
All right. Well, that's cool. I didn't know that about you, and I know that you still play to this day, so that's really awesome. Let's talk acting for a second. You've been entertaining us for almost 30 years now, and I think the last things I saw you in were maybe on New Girl or you were on Shameless there last season, but you're back on the big screen this weekend with Insidious 3, and you're not known for a lot of horror movies. Tell us how you ended up in this one, Dermot.
I've been wanting to be in a horror movie. I mean, look what they've been doing the last couple of years. Great business in this series, Insidious. Patrick Wilson and Rose Byrne originate those characters and set the stage for our story. Chapter 3 takes place a little bit before, a couple of years previous to the first Insidious. So it's an entire, it's what you call an origin story, I guess. Hey, where's Kevin? Was he too afraid to talk about Insidious? Is that why he's not here today?
I think that's it.
We were interviewing somebody for Insidious, and he was too fearful, wasn't he?
That is very funny that you would bring that up. No, I don't know what your level of tolerance is. We're all about the same age, Dermot. But Kevin went out to poker one night. Then he went to a U2 show at the Roxy last Thursday. Then he went to Las Vegas Friday, Las Vegas Saturday, then back to U2 at the Forum on Sunday night. And I think Monday he woke up and he just realized he was dead and he couldn't work. So he's been out sick ever since.
I've heard that happening to people our age.
Yes.
You get tired and stuff. Personally, I've never been tired. I wouldn't start now, but I understand. I've been listening to you guys. I know what he's about. He's just, you know, he's made of, let's say, spun glass.
Yes. Tissue paper, exactly.
Green paper, exactly. Onion skin paper.
But look, if you've got the kind of job where you can get away with saying, I'm sorry, I can't come in, I partied too hard. See, that's the advantage of working at a place like K-Rock, is that flies around here.
You guys still use the you still allow for those excuses. Yeah, no, I've never been able to call in, and never needed to. I can say
exactly. Hey, this is the voice of Dermot Mulroney on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Insidious 3 that opens Insidious Chapter 3, I guess it's technically called, that opens up everywhere on Friday. This is going to sound like a really dumb question. I really don't know the answer to this, Dermot. But look, you understand that movie making is make believe. You understand that you're just trying to put something up on the screen that looks cool, and it's not necessarily that way to film it at the time. Is there ever a time when you're making a horror movie where you're in the moment, and it's dark, and things go bump, and it actually is startling or scary while you film it?
Yeah, I didn't expect that at all. So as much as I expected a dumb question, it didn't turn out to be one. But that's exactly what happened. I thought, we're going to have to make this part scary. I really push for it, manufacture the moment. But, man, I'm telling you, when the lights are down and you're holding the flashlight and you're creeping down the hall and there's, like, these tarry footprints on the floor and can't see the camera or any of the crew, it makes the hair on your arm stand up. I couldn't believe it. I thought for sure it'd all be kind of like, it'll work when we put the thing together in the editing room. But it happened right there for real on the soundstage where we're shooting. It was incredible.
Cool.
There's a whole seance sequence that's kind of just candle lit. So it surprised me that it had that effect on me.
Hey, I heard your son played a big part in you taking this role. Like, he couldn't be less impressed with you acting alongside Meryl Streep in August Osage County. But he heard you were up for this and was like, Dad, do it.
Register with my boy, but when I let him know I was going to be in Insidious 3, he jumped off the couch. I mean, you know, he's right in the wheelhouse for him and his buddies are at the age where that's the best kind of movie there is a horror movie where you go with a whole pack of 15-year-old boys, and that's the way it's meant to be seen. Hey, I think horror movies are doing more than their part to retain the long-standing tradition. Remember when people all went to the theater and watched a movie together?
Yep.
Those were the days, right?
Yep.
Movies like Insidious Chapter 3 are keeping that as a part of our culture because It's the best. I saw it in L.A. at the AMC Century City with an invited audience of fans. Like, maybe they were the, you know, most Twitter touches for Insidious or whatever. They got them all in the same room, and I watched it in there with my kid and his buddies. And, man, I'm telling you, it was pandemonium. People screamed, blood-curdling screams from the audience watching this movie. I never experienced watching a movie like that before in my life.
That is very cool. And, you know, I know we're almost out of time here, Dermot, but what I love is old-school filmmaking for horror movies is awesome, because there's nothing scarier than something that's kind of dark and a knock on the window or a knock on the wall or something jumps out at you or something like that. It doesn't have to be a lot of special effects, a bunch of monsters, a bunch of CGI. I mean, that just gets down to, like, the basic core of what scares us as humans.
It's all done practically as best they can. Obviously, they enhance some here and there with, you know, modern post-production visual effects, but Lee Whannell wrote this and directed it. He wrote the other Insidious. He appears in the movie as Specs. Those who know the other two movies love him as one half of the ghost-hunting team. And the guy's got this, he's got this system down to a science. It's really cool. So these sequences in the movie where they're engineered to scare your pants off, and to watch him do it with just such precise timing and the whole setup was really fascinating to watch. And, man, it works gangbusters in the theater. So fun.
Wow, that's cool. Well, we can tell they think a lot of it, or it wouldn't be coming out in the summertime. Insidious Chapter 3 in theaters everywhere this Friday. Dermot Mulroney, we appreciate the kind words about K-Rock. It's nice to know you're out there listening once in a while. Great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You guys are my first K station. I came from the East Coast, so it was all W stations. I got to California in 1985 and was like, what is this K in the front of the, you know, but K-Rock 106. That's where we're from, man.
You That's
guys
awesome.
Have been doing awesome work all these years, so keep at it, and I'll do the same. How's that sound?
So, it's a deal, Dermot. Thanks for coming on, man. We enjoyed it.
Right on.
106.7.
Rodney, I'm
K-Rock.
Okay, I got the showbiz.
Of course.
I got to do showbiz beat here.
That was Nirvana, Rodney. We're fine. We'll take it from here. Ralph is here with the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock for Wednesday. What's going on?
Well, it may be Wednesday, but what are you doing Friday night? How about Friday night? You have plans for Friday night? Well, why don't you come out and see Hollywood Babylon with me and director, actor, writer Kevin Smith?
No.
We take on the week's showbiz news and we poop on people.
What?
Not actually, but, you know, verbally. We mock our industry betters, as Kevin is happy to say. It's happening
We do not want this sickness.
Okay. It's happening at the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood Friday night, 10 p.m. You can get your tickets at improv.com. Or if you're in Orange County, you want to come out and see us at the Irvine Improv. We're going to be there the following week, and on Saturday night, Sinbad is opening for us, so you can catch us in the late show on Saturday night.
Not interested.
You go to improv.com and click on Irvine if you want to go to that show, but we'd love to see you come out to a show soon, because we miss you. It's been a while. Let's catch up.
No. No.
I don't think I like your attitude. Well, it's going to happen. I predicted it. Boom. There I am. Right, Dr. Drew? I told you.
Huh.
Adele's going to do her second James Bond theme.
That's rock and roll.
It is rock and roll. You're right. She is only the second performer to ever do more than one James Bond theme, but she was such a hit with her Skyfall that she's been tapped to do the theme for Spectre, the next James Bond movie. This all according to the UK's Daily Star. It was quite the competition, by the way. Apparently also in the running to record the new theme song, Sam Smith. But blew out his throat. He was bleeding all over the place. Couldn't use him. Lord. Now, I would like to hear a Lord James Bond theme.
Yeah, me too.
Lana Del Rey. Obvious.
I think that would have been excellent as well.
Obviously. Except she's a bitch. Except for that part. Right, Bean? You with me on that?
No, I like her.
Okay. Obviously.
I think she's misunderstood, and I say that sincerely, not to excuse her, but I do think
she goes around being all bitchy, and people think she's a bitch, but then it's our bad.
I think she's been misunderstood. I like her, and I think she's got a good sound for James Bond. I heard it one time that maybe Muse might be up for the job too, by the way, and I would have loved to have heard that.
Obviously, she said that.
Obviously.
Do we have that? Do we have that audio? I thought we had that. No, I guess we don't. Watch as much time as I could.
Obviously.
There we go. Obviously. Adele, however, is going to be back for Spectre. Makes me happy. You know the only other performer ever to have more than one James Bond theme? Ally McKay? Yeah, I'm not asking you, Bean. I know you know.
Roz from Frasier.
Yes, Roz from Frasier. That's right. She recorded three of them.
So good.
Adele Dazeem.
No, not Adele Dazeem. It was Dame Shirley Bassey. Legendarily known, of course, for Goldfinger. Probably the biggest James Bond theme hit ever.
You knew that, Bean?
Oh, yeah. He's
sure.
He's a nerd. Goldfinger. You know what other two themes she did, Bean? You know the names of them? Huh? Do you?
She did Diamonds Are Forever.
Diamonds Are Forever.
And I don't... Did she do the Man with the Golden Gun?
No!
Oh. What was the other one she did? I don't recall the third.
And the Moonraker.
Moonraker,
goes.
Yes. Moonraker. We all agree that the best James Bond theme of all time is Live and Let Die, though, right?
No, we don't all agree on that.
Really? I thought that was...
I don't agree on that. I
thought that was common wisdom.
Common wisdom? It's a matter of opinion. How can it be common wisdom?
Well, there's a right and a wrong, and the
no,
right
there
is
isn't.
That Live and Let Die is the greatest James Bond theme ever.
Not a right or wrong, it's just opinion.
And I would also say You Only Live Twice is darned close, by the way, for the greatest
Thunderball
Bond theme
kicks
of all
both
time.
Of their asses.
The Tom Jones?
Yeah. And it strikes like Thunderball.
View to a Kill?
No.
Nobody does it better?
No.
I agree.
Are you going to name every James Bond theme?
Just wondering what else is up there near the top.
Don't you think Goldfinger trumps all?
Goldfinger's good. Goldfinger's really good.
It's common wisdom. It's condom wisdom, too. Hey, Jack White.
Guilty.
He's not been charged with anything. Oh. He's been in Nashville now for a while with his Third Man Records headquartered in that city. But however, people are trying to get him to move because apparently it's in a very scary part of town.
I have been to Third Man Records in Nashville.
Is it in a scary part of town?
It's a wee bit dodgy. Yeah, it is. It's across the street from a what do you call one of? It's not. I guess a soup
crack
kitchen.
House.
Essentially, a soup kitchen is what it is across the street from. Yeah, it's in not a well lit part of town.
It's a wee bit dodgy. What? Why are you a Bobby from the Dickens era?
I once took a walkabout with my paramour in that area.
I say, old man, it's a wee bit dodgy. But over at the men's club, we were talking about the Boer Wars. Capturing giant tigers and ninja. It's a wee bit dodgy, I say. Cheerio, pip-pip. What's wrong with you? Why can't you talk like people?
I do talk like people. Just maybe not people in this century.
However, Jack said he's not moving. He just bought some more office space, and he's got his record store there that he's opening up, and he doesn't care because he said he was born and raised in Detroit. So this is nothing. Nashville's got nothing on Detroit. He can tough it out.
But isn't the what I heard, Ralph, is that he is
a wee bit dodgy.
Is opening a second location in Detroit, is the story that I read yesterday.
Oh.
That he's expanding the operation, staying in Nashville, but opening a second store.
There you go.
Detroit.
That would be... That same story, but with more facts.
With more facts.
So there you go.
Well, you know what they say about Detroit. It's all fun and games till they shoot you in the face.
That's right. That story was a wee bit dodgy. I say, cheerio, pip-pip. How about some crumpets? Today's celebrity birthday is Kerry King. He's the guitarist for Slayer.
Yeah, he is.
Bitches. He shreds. He'll shred your face off. He's 51 years old. Actor James Purefoy is 51. Anderson Cooper, he, of course, a TV host from CNN. Also, rich, because his mom invented pants or something. I don't know.
I think that's accurate.
I got to look into that story a little bit more.
He's dreamy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anderson Cooper?
Just because there's snow on the roof doesn't mean there's not a furnace in his penis, right?
Nice metal tribute song to Anderson Cooper?
Yes. Once again, only the clearest of audio used here.
Well, that's on their end this time, not on me. That's just how
you chose
recorded.
To play it. It was a wee bit dodgy, that piece of tape was. I say, Governor. And Imogen Poots, the lovely and talented actress we've been enjoying playing with her name all morning long. She's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Walk the moon on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, Wednesday morning. Hey, you want a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of Jurassic World? Coming up on June 10th at AMC City Walk, ahead of it opening in theaters everywhere on June 12th. Then you should call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. We're not just handing them out, though. We're going to make you earn them. Give you a chance to play a game coming up next. Jurassic World tickets right now. Call K-Rock. All right, it was hard to avoid over the weekend, Allie. I'm sure you saw the Charlie Challenge was everywhere.
Yeah, I played it.
Did you?
No.
Okay. There's very little dumber than the Charlie Challenge, right?
It's pretty dumb. But when I was a kid, it was the same thing, the Bloody Mary. Do you remember
yes.
that?
I don't. I don't. I have no memories of living life as a kid.
Huh.
But because my mind was it was not raped at all. My mind was wiped by my alien handlers, so I don't remember. But I did see references to the Bloody Mary game in these news stories about the Charlie Challenge. Now, how did Bloody Mary work?
You basically just went in a bathroom and you said, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. And then she's supposed to reach out and attack you.
Okay.
It was big at slumber parties.
Well, the Charlie Challenge, if you haven't heard, basically, it's something that that the kids do where you take pencils and you put them on a piece of paper and then you Charlie come out and play or whatever it is. And then you ask it questions like a Ouija board and then the pencils move and give you answers. And it's a little unclear kind of where it came from. Variations of the game existed for a long time, but it's been very big on YouTube and on social media over the weekend. So we thought, why are we trying to guess about this Charlie Challenge? Apparently, it has deep roots in Mexico. We have a correspondent, our friend Rudy Ciceros, who knows all things Latin. So we bring him onto the Kevin Abin Show right now to kind of set Whitey straight and explain the Charlie Challenge. Hey, Rudy, how are you, buddy?
What's up, dog? How you doing, Bean? Hey, did I hear you say you got your brain raped?
I think I accidentally said something close to that. I meant wiped,
oh,
though.
Oh, damn, dog. Oh, because, like, I knew a vato in the pen. He had the same thing, dog, and it's, like, it's pretty bad when you get your brain raped, dog.
Yeah, you know what that. I don't want to have any part of that either.
It hurts, fool.
So it's a Mexican demon, this Charlie, and you're supposed to ask it questions, and then it answers through a pencil. It seems a little silly to me, but I felt like you would know more about this than we do, Rudy.
Hey, like, you can make fun all you want, fool, but, like, I'm scared to even talk about it, dog. Like, I don't want no Charlie to come after me and, like, start, you know, come get me, because, like, it's scary, dog. Like, it's real. I've had plenty of homeboys, they get done dirty, fool, by Charlie.
Well, is this another Mexican superstition, like a chupacabra, where it's not entirely true, but it's kind of just something that's fun to talk about?
It's crazy, too, dog. Like, I flat out knew, like, the people that, like, made it happen for, like, all right, let me tell you what happened, right? There was
okay,
this
good.
Jaina. Okay, you remember that Jaina, Flaquita? She used to live in Buena Parque. Like, I used to run with her back in the day, like, you know, way back in the day, like the 80s. Anyway, like, this Jaina, she was dating this vato, okay? This guy, Maniaco. And, like, you know, they had a couple kids or whatever, but they never, like, he never, like, settled down because he's always, like, you know, a player, you know, out with all the different girls. So, like, he was going and, like, hiding at his cousin's house, Little Reaper. Like, he was in the cut, you know, because he owed child support to Flaquita. So he was, like, hiding, you know, and Flaquita couldn't get him to pay no money. No,
is this too much backstory on the players? Can we get to the Charlie part, Rudy?
Well, like, Flaquita, she couldn't get in touch with him, so she got this lawyer, and his name was Charlie, and he was, like,
okay.
A white boy. And, like, this white boy, he was, like, the craziest attorney ever. And, like, it doesn't matter if you go to Florida or Alaska or whatever, he's going to come get you, and he's going to make you pay your child support. So, like, Charlie, he went down and he found Maniaco, and he was at his cousin's house watching the Raider game in the cut, like all with his Jaina, and he was putting pencils in her chichis to see if, like, her chichis will hold up the pencils, you know? Because, like, you know, like, sometimes you want to see if, like, the Jaina's chichis are big enough, and so Charlie bust in, and they got in a fist fight, fool, and so, like, the Maniaco, he stabbed Charlie in the neck with these pencils, and now the spirit of Charlie's gonna come back and get you if you summoned him, so you better watch out, fool, because he'll break you off, and then you gotta pay crazy Skrilla.
So that makes... That makes sense to you, Rudy? That seems like a reasonable explanation for the kids with the Charlie pencil challenge?
It makes crazy good sense to me, fool. It's like all good sense in my brain, dog.
Now, it's true if you don't say, Charlie, can we stop? Charlie will actually haunt you for the rest of your life?
Forever, unless you take the anecdote, dog. You know, like you have to... My grandma
you mean the
told
antidote?
Me, That's right, fool. Because, like, I was fooling around. I was blazed, you know, with my friends, you know, like Bum and Donut and Ceiling Fan. And we were all, like, we're blazing, you know. And, like, and we're like, hey, let's play Charlie, you know. It's just a stupid, you know, it's like for little white girls. They don't care. And we did it. And then, like, you know, his spirit came after me. And for one thing I know for sure is Charlie don't surf. And, like, you know, that was for Bean. And then, like, like, you know, I told my grandma, I was like, I got to get the spirit off my back, kinda. And so she's like, okay, this is what you got to do. You got to make a tea out of witch hazel, three hairs from a three-legged chihuahua, and buffalo tusk. And you got to drink it hanging upside down from a Dodger mug. And, like, it clears you of all your demons, dog.
I didn't know it was that easy to get rid of the Charlie demon.
Yeah, it's not. It's no big deal, dog. You just go down to the tienda, you know what I'm saying? Down there.
Sure,
on, like, you know,
yeah.
Well, hi, all right, get the...
Listen, thank you so much for clearing that up. And please give my best to Ceiling Fan. I haven't talked to him
all
in a
right,
while.
All right, dog. Hey, real quick, you guys want to buy an armadillo?
No!
I could get you a good deal, dog. My friend, he's got the hookup, you know, a little mechanic. He's got some armadillos, you know. I mean, it's a pretty dope animal.
All right, we're gonna get back to you on that. Thanks, Rudy.
All right, assalamu alaikum.
I want to thank Megan Wade for stopping by. It's good to see you, man. It's been a while. Hey, Ralph, I've got a problem. Maybe you can help me with. I really want to see this Jurassic World, the latest in the Jurassic Park series, of fine movies.
Yes.
But it doesn't come out till June 12th. Can you fix me up sooner than that, please?
Yes, actor, I
can. Is there anything you can do for me?
We are going to have a K-Rock screening of Jurassic World June the 10th.
Yay!
A full 48 hours before it's in theaters everywhere, up there at the AMC CityWalk at Universal Studios. A special screening just for K-Rock listeners. But we don't just want to give the tickets away. We want you to earn them. We want real Jurassic Park franchise fans, people who love them, some dinosaurs. So we're going to play a little game called Know Your Dinosaur.
Open the door, get on the floor. Everybody know your dinosaur. Open the door, get on the floor. Everybody know your dinosaur. Open the door, get on the floor. Everybody know your dinosaur. Open the door,
okay,
get on
I
the
think
floor.
We got it now.
Everybody know your dinosaur.
Omar slaved over those lyrics.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. It's as simple as you answer a dinosaur-related trivia question and you win tickets. There's no drawing or anything like that. So if we've got the phones are filled with 10-year-old boys, you're going to get 100% winners here, Ralph.
Stop it.
No, I'm just saying little boys love dinosaurs.
Everybody knows dinosaur stuff.
Well, let's find out. Let's meet Lewis. He's up first in Maywood. He is on line one. He's playing for Jurassic World tickets. Hi, Lewis. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show, sir.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Lewis, do you know your dinosaurs?
Well, let's see if I do.
All right. The word dinosaur itself, Lewis, comes from the Greek and was first coined in 1842. But what does it mean? What is the translation into English from dinosaur?
Google
dinosaur.
I know.
Dinosaurs.
You run out of time. I'm sorry.
Even with Google, he didn't know it.
You don't type fast enough, Lewis. Terrible lizard is the actual translation. Terrible lizard.
Thank you for the call, sir. Hey, Ralph, let's
That's
go
a
to
bad rap
Pete
for the dinosaurs. Isn't to call them terrible? You don't know.
It
You've
is.
Never met them.
Peter, Granada Hills, line two. Ralph, what do you know, if you know, did they call dinosaurs before 1842?
That's when the first dinosaur fossil was discovered, Bean.
So we didn't know about dinosaurs until then?
Nope. How about that?
That's amazing.
Yeah. See, amazing. Now it's common knowledge now that dinosaur fossils have been found on every continent on the globe. But in 1842, we're just like, what?
How about that? The first ever dinosaur fossil was found in the state of Washington, by the way. Did you know that?
Not a
story. Hey, Peter. Welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Good morning.
Good.
Hey, Peter.
Up.
Here is your dinosaur-related trivia question. Which dinosaur is famous for the bony frill around its head and its three horns?
That would be a Triceratops.
Boom! Peter, you're living large. You're going to see the special advanced screening of Jurassic World.
All right, thank you.
Hold on, we're going to give you all the details. See, it's
Burbank,
just that
we
simple.
Go. For that was great. For Michael on line three. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. Listen up. Here's Ralph with your dinosaur question. Again, the game is called Know Your Dinosaur.
Everybody know your dinosaur.
All right, Michael.
I love you. You love me. We're a happy family.
That, of course, is the song made famous by Barney the Dinosaur, the popular children's program. What kind of dinosaur is Barney supposed to be?
He's supposed to be a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Boom! Michael.
Well done,
rock.
Michael. Well done.
Hold on, you're going to the movie as well.
All right, 2 out of 3 so far. Let's see how we do in Van Nuys with Daniel up next on line 4. Hi, Daniel. Listen up. Here's Ralph with your question.
Daniel, this is one of the most easily recognized dinosaurs thanks to the enormous fin-like spines that ran down its back. Scientists say those spines helped it stay cool. What is the name of this particular dinosaur?
Is that the Stegosaurus?
Stegosaurus!
Check
Come
you
on!
Out, sir. Excellent. I'm very impressed with our listeners
These
today.
Are my peeps.
I always like to think we have smart listeners. Usually I am proved wrong when we go to the phones. Not today. All right. How about Chris in Walnut? Hi, Chris. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. Let's play and get you some Jurassic World tickets.
Hey, Chris.
Hi. How you doing? Let's do
good,
it.
Good, buddy. This dinosaur was heavily featured in Steven Spielberg's Jurassic Park movie, and it was portrayed as a fearsome predator, but scientists actually believe that it was about the size of a chicken and covered in feathers. Do you know what dinosaur we're talking about?
Oh,
the bad guy.
Like mini Velociraptor. I don't know.
Velociraptor. That's right.
That is correct.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
All right. I think that's 4 pair. I believe we've got 1 pair left. Maybe they go to Jude in Venice. Jude, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, Jude.
Good morning.
Don't say it again. Don't say it. All right, Jude, listen up. Here's Ralph.
Here's your question. A pterodactyl is the common term for these reptiles who are cousins to the dinosaurs and all have what trait in common? What can all pterodactyls do?
Fly.
Fly! Absolutely
yes!
Correct, sir.
All
well
right.
done.
Wow. You got your great caller. Thank you so much. You will see Jurassic World June 10th at AMC CityWalk at the special K-Rock screening Jurassic World in theaters everywhere June 12th. Thank you for playing Know Your Dinosaurs.
Everybody know your dinosaur.
I got to tell you, our long national nightmare is almost over. The longest year of my life is about to end tomorrow night on NBC at 10 o'clock with the return of Season 3 of Hannibal, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Fuller, back on the program, executive producer and writer for the TV show Hannibal. Brian, so glad to finally be able to talk to you again. How have you been, my friend?
I've been wonderful. It's great to be back. Is Allie
Has
on
it been
the line?
I am here, too.
Hey, Allie.
Hi, Brian.
Do you guys know each other, or is this just an instant love connection?
I mean, I felt the connection. Did you feel it?
I feel it across the phone line.
Excellent.
Brian, has it been a year since Hannibal's been gone?
It's been over a year, I think. It's been a year and some change. So the time cut makes sense when you watch the first episode back.
I don't know how it works with you. You run into people, you meet them at a party, and they're like, oh, what do you do? And then you try telling them about Hannibal. But I am out there just spreading the good word at every opportunity, and I don't think enough people realize what a special hour of TV you are creating every week. It really is nothing like anything I've ever seen on network TV. In fact, I turn to my wife at the end of every episode, and I go, how did they get NBC to put that on the air? Do you have a lot of fights with the types of things that you put on the show, Brian?
No, not at all with NBC. They have been so incredibly supportive, and there is a lovely lady by the name of Joanna Jameson that is our standards and practices executive at the network. And we giggle on the phone and have a good time because she has always said, we want you to make the show that you want to make, and we have to play within these rules. But she tells me how to navigate the rules all the time.
That's beautiful. And for people who think they know Hannibal because they saw the Anthony Hopkins movies or even read the original source material in the original novels, you guys are doing something completely different than that. And it's so different and so much richer in so many ways. And I think it's because of the characters you've created and also the phenomenal cast you have. It just must be so much fun to be able to move those chess pieces around the board.
Oh, boy. I mean, when you're working with Mads Mikkelsen and Hugh Dancy and Lawrence Fishburne and Gillian Anderson and Caroline DeVarna, there's an embarrassment of riches in terms of what we can do. And we put some crazy things in these actors' mouths, and they somehow make them work.
I don't know how – I think it would make sense as we're trying to get new people on board for tomorrow night at 10 on NBC to kind of recap where we left off season 2, because there's never been a cliffhanger on a show where you've had more characters in peril than yours, right?
Right, yeah. Maybe Dynasty. Wasn't there a big shootout at a wedding?
And you don't know who lives until the next season? I think you're right, yes.
Right. You know, it's – coming into this season is a good place to jump on the train if you haven't already, because there's such a break from what we were doing in the first two seasons that the premiere episode really functions as a new pilot for a show about a cannibal and the woman posing as his wife as they James Bond through Europe.
Right. All right. So are you at liberty to say, I mean, I guess we don't want you to say this, but we're assuming most of your major characters survive, even though when we last saw Jack, Lawrence Fishburne's character, he was pretty much bleeding out. If I recall correctly, Will was stabbed. I think Alana was – what's that?
Will was gutted.
Gutted, right, yeah. Alana, Carolyn DeVernis' character, wasn't she like bleeding out on the front steps of the apartment too?
Oh, yeah, she took a dive out the second floor window.
Yeah, okay. A lot of bad things happened. It was not the best dinner party that Dr. Hannibal has ever given at the end of season two.
We call it the red dinner.
Well done.
Allie, you've heard bits and pieces about Hannibal. I know you're getting ready to binge watch it.
Yeah.
What's the question that you've had about it, knowing that you haven't seen it?
Well, what I actually liked, I think it was Yahoo did, where you analyzed people's answers to your questions.
Right.
It was a fantastic read, and just reading through there, all the different killers that people would want back, all the different things. I am now completely fascinated, and just being a huge fan of Pushing Daisies, to know that it's that same beautiful, shot beautifully, edited beautifully. I don't know where I was for the past year and a half, I guess I've been waiting for the show to come back, but I don't know where I was for the first two seasons, and I apologize, Brian.
Well, I think a lot of people saw, like, oh, another Hannibal story, and they're just going to be trotting out the same tropes that we've seen in four different movies, and as a big fan of the Thomas Harris books, it was really an opportunity for me to do my own sort of fan fiction of the novels and do a mashup. Like, mm-hmm. We really consider ourselves mashup DJs, where we are taking tracks from Silence of the Lambs and spinning it with lyrics from Red Dragon. So even if you're familiar with the show, we've done such a mix-up mashup with it that you're going to get a new experience.
I do like that you say we can pick it up tomorrow, not having seen the first two seasons, and it's just like a whole new show.
Yeah, yeah, that's the fun part of it. And Gillian Anderson has a much bigger role this season than she has in the previous two seasons, and her chemistry with Mads Mikkelsen is spectacular. They're both these icy hot entities that have a fantastic sexual chemistry.
I can't believe, if you're just joining us, by the way, we're talking about Hannibal returning on NBC tomorrow night at 10 after Aquarius, which is a great 1-2 punch on NBC primetime. Brian Fuller is on the phone right now. I will tell you, and I can't believe I'm about to say this about a serial killer, but Dr. Hannibal Lecter has kind of ruined all other men for my wife, because he is so handsome. He speaks all those languages. He wears the best suits. He's the most incredible chef in the world, if you want to, you know, if you discount the fact that he's eating humans. I mean, he seems to be like the classiest, smartest guy in the world on this show. You make him so darned appealing, which is so at odds with the fact that we know he's a monster, and I think that's part of the fun of the show.
Well, part of the fun, too, is that he's a monster whose motto is eat the rude. So if you're a relatively decent human being, you're safe from being on his menu. And that's kind of the fun of it, too, because you're like, oh, those, you know, the rude definitely deserve to be eaten. And I'm so polite that I'll just watch mirthfully from my dinner seat.
Brian, did you get any free trips to Europe to shoot this thing in the past year?
No, we did. We did send Maz and Jillian and Hugh to Florence for 5 days to shoot exteriors, and everything else that we shot we found in the wonderful city of Toronto.
Oh, wow. How about, man, Canada's just faking out the world, man. They can play any country, can't they?
You know, Toronto's actually a great place to shoot. The crews are pretty amazing, and there's a wide variety of locations. So we were finding things. It was like, yeah, it looks like France, and
good enough.
Setting up the cameras.
That's cool. All right, before we let you go, we have a couple other quick things we have to ask you about. Besides, we urge everybody to watch Hannibal tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on NBC. Number one is, are you going to be at all involved in the Heroes reboot that we have been hearing about, Brian, since I know how much of a participant you were in season one of the original show?
No, I'm not. I would have loved to. They were doing it concurrently with Hannibal, and I'm very friendly with many of the cast members, and so they were filming in Toronto as well. So when they were up there shooting, we would have breakfasts and hang out, and I would hear all the great things that they're doing on the show, which sounds fantastic. I'm very excited about that reboot.
All right. And, Allie, you had a question, too, for Brian.
I apologize for bringing it up, but so many people want to know. Pushing Daisies, you hear everything from maybe it'll go to the big screen, possibly Netflix, a musical. What?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Well, all of those things have been bandied about. We've been talking to Warner Brothers about launching a Broadway musical for a couple of years, and it seems like a perfect format for it because so many of the actors on the show were plucked from Broadway. Kristen Chenoweth, Ellen Green, Raul Esparza were all fantastic Broadway babies that brightened the show. So it seems like a natural fit for Broadway. And also, you know, I would love to revisit it as a Netflix series. And, you know, we tried movie for a while, and we tried the Kickstarter thing, and then it turned out that that wasn't actually a great financial model for something budgeted over $10 million. And so we keep trying because it's one of the – it's such a happy place for me creatively to go to. It's just jam-packed with all the things I love. So I hope – that I get to revisit that world sometime in the future because it's a happy place.
We all
How about a dinner party where Hannibal invites all the Pushing Daisies kids over and he just eats them one by one?
Well, the pie maker and Hannibal would have a ball in the kitchen as long as the pie maker didn't touch the savory meats before they went to the pie.
Gotta be polite.
Exactly. Brian, you have had such a fascinating career. It's unbelievable how many different kinds of things. We haven't even talked about Star Trek and all the other stuff you've done. But, man, you're such a fascinating guy and such a high level of quality. We're so excited after so long to have Hannibal back on our TVs. You are welcome anytime, my friend. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you, Bean. Thank you, Allie. It's great to talk to you. And thank you so much for supporting the show.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. Ralph, you watching that Hannibal?
I have not seen the Hannibal, but I've heard only good things about it.
So good. Listen, and you love Gillian Anderson, too.
Listen to me.
I know. I know there's too much
TV. You don't know, apparently.
I do know.
I am all full up with crazy over here. I got no more room.
All right. Hey, it's a Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget more Incubus tickets for, Incubus and Deftones at the Forum or Irvine Meadows, your choice, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's happening?
Speaking of tickets, Kevin Smith and I are doing Hollywood Babylon again. We're bringing it to the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood this Friday night at 10 p.m. We'd love to have you come out and join us. We always have a really good time, especially this week. A lot to talk about this week. Kim Kardashian caught on fire and someone put her out.
Nope.
What are they thinking? Also, if you're down in the O.C., people keep asking, why don't you come a little bit closer to me down there in Orange County? So we're going to do the Irvine Improv on
Nope.com
the Saturday, which
no!
is the 13th, I think, Saturday the 13th. So come out and see us. You can go to Improv.com for more information and to get your tickets. Some TV programming notes. We're just talking about how much TV there is to watch. I just can't fit any more in my schedule, but I'm going to try to fit this stuff in. Tonight, Fox News will be airing an interview with Josh Duggar's parents at 9 p.m. tonight. I'd love to hear what they have to say about covering up Josh's indiscretions.
I'm sure that they are victims somehow, and the mainstream media has made it sound worse than it really is.
Well, according to Fox News' news release, it turns out that Josh Duggar molesting those 10 kids when he was a teenager, it was all President Obama's fault. I don't know how it worked out, but that's what Fox is going to... That's their spin. No spin zone. More programming. Yes, it is the summer season premiere tonight at 8:30 p.m. of Baby Daddy. That's right, you heard me. Our favorite fictional television show, Baby Daddy's coming back tonight on ABC Family. I'm going to watch just so I can prove to myself there's actually a TV show called Baby Daddy.
What's the premise of Baby Daddy?
You know, it's about that baby and the baby's daddy.
Okay.
Apparently in tonight's episode, Riley runs away home to New Jersey, but Ben tries to get her back. And then Bonnie is coveting the dead neighbor's apartment.
Wow.
It's all happening tonight on Baby Daddy on ABC Family. Baby Daddy. That's a show. That's like five seasons worth of comedy right there. That happened. Yesterday, I mentioned to you that Bobby Flay, the chef was getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame because of all those movies and TV shows he was in. Apparently, Bobby Flay, someone corrected me yesterday, does have a TV series where he cooks things. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I thought we knew that. But he's still just a cook who they put a camera on. He's still not doing anything. He's not entertaining.
He did get his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday, and a little bit of a surprise as well. While he was getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, a plane circled overhead with a banner that read "Cheater" trailing behind it.
Oh, now this is now getting interesting.
Word is the aircraft circled for about an hour, and they're just guessing here, could be the work of his tremendously bitter estranged wife, Stephanie March, who accused him of infidelity during their ugly divorce battle.
Well, sexually based offenses are considered especially heinous, so it makes sense.
Stephanie March, by the way, if you didn't get that reference, is the star of Law & Order SVU.
No.
Wow.
But really? Because he cheated, and that's dizzy. Especially...
I'm dizzy from that one.
Yeah. It's from the
intro.
That was
a haymaker. Wow. That just
takes the wind right out of
you. Wind out of me. Yeah.
It's rough.
I'm going to need some time to come back from that.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
What's past the file? What's for a worse
the
offense
furnace?
Than one that goes in the file? We have to put her in the furnace.
Put that in the furnace, don't we?
I think so.
Don't we just burn it? We don't even revisit it. We just burn it on the spot?
I think we kill it with fire, along with the person that said it.
Murder.
Yeah, the
there
murder
you
button.
Go. That may be the answer.
The murder button has to be pressed. And we're very, very pleased to announce, according to the UK's Daily Star newspaper, that Adele has been tapped to do another James Bond movie theme. Remember this one?
Hey,
remember?
Hey, hey.
Remember this? Skyfall? Remember this? Hit the skyfall. Yeah. It crumbles. You stand tall. I'll face it all. Together, let the skyfall. Yeah. I just want to slather Adele up with some sort of oil and just have her sing that to me.
Huh.
Or rolling around on a tarp. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you did.
Hey, Ralph, many listeners weighed in when we briefly brought this up earlier and suggested it may be time for us to make one of our famous lists where we come up with the top five consensus picks for James Bond themes. I was really surprised to see the variety of favorites that people have. Several people wrote in, View to a Kill, Duran Duran, that's my favorite James Bond theme. Got one vote for The World Is Not Enough, which I think, if I remember correctly, was the Garbage theme.
That is a good one.
So a lot of people have Bond themes. It might be time for us to put those in an appropriate order.
Nobody said Madonna.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah.
As long as Live and Let Die is number one, I'm fine
to
make
a list. That's not how it works. You don't get to dictate.
I mean, we start at that point that factually is correct. And then now we're all playing for number two after that.
Adele apparently will do the theme for Spectre, the next James Bond movie, beating out Lana Del Rey, Lord, and Sam Smith, who are all possibilities to record the tune. But wisely, they went to Adele. And Sam Mendes is back to direct, so we're getting the gang back together again, which makes me happy.
Allie, what's your favorite James Bond movie?
Oh, so many.
Don't get me started. Like our producer, Dave the King of Mexico, off air, Allie McKay confessed to the crime that she had never seen a single James Bond movie.
Bitches be crazy.
Word, Kevin. Thanks for coming back for that. And then,
but you're
where are you going? Kevin, come back. He's leaving again.
But, Allie, look, I get if you're not a fanatic, but you're an adult who lived in the world when James Bond movies were made your whole life. Like, why wasn't there ever a time where you said, hey, that Casino Royale people are saying is great, I'm going to go see that?
I probably said it and then forgot.
Yeah. Too busy watching Holiday another time.
Right.
On LaserDisc.
Are you actively against the James Bond movies?
No. Hey, come out and see me and Kevin Smith this weekend. We're doing a Friday night late show at the Improv on Melrose, doing Hollywood Babylon back on stage. First time in a couple of weeks we're doing it, and we're looking forward to it. So if you want to come out and see me and filmmaker, director, actor, writer Kevin Smith, we'd love to have you join us Friday, 10 p.m. You can go to improv.com to get more details and tickets. Or the following weekend, we're doing a Saturday night late show at the Irvine Improv down in Orange County.
Oh,
love to see
you
come down there. So that person will be there, it sounds like, to
me. To think of it.
Yeah?
No.
Oh, maybe not so much. Congratulations to Iggy Azalea and Nick Young of your Los Angeles Lakers. Swaggy P.
I don't believe. What? Really?
Huh?
Is he Swaggy P?
He's Swaggy P.
Oh, okay.
Why? What's the matter? What's the confusion? You all right? You there?
I guess I missed that.
I guess I missed that connection. Iggy Azalea and Nick Young are getting married.
Right.
He's Swaggy P, and they're getting married. Why are you fighting me on this, man?
It's
just an announcement. Do you not recognize Iggy anymore? Is that the problem? You're not sure who
That's
that woman
what it is?
Who's that woman over there?
I see that woman claiming to be Iggy Azalea, but she looks nothing like the one from a year ago.
In Iggy Azalea's seat at the Billboard Music Awards. Speaking of music, I am a big fan of this Albert Hammond Jr. from The Strokes. I think he's a talented guy, good guy, nice man. He's doing a little solo project, and he's got his solo album, Momentary Masters, is going to be the name. It comes out in July, but he just dropped the new song, Losing Touch, via SoundCloud, and if you want to check it out, it's available online now. I thought you might be interested. Strokes fans might want to hear a little of the solo work of Albert Hammond Jr., his little taste of the song. Well, what you call wisdom, I call pain. Stepped out of line, well, I missed my dream. In time you'll say, I'm just losing touch. Oh, I'm just losing touch. Whoa. It's a catchy little tune.
It's very Strokesy.
It is. I like it.
You know, I was trying to think, why would you not just have that song, you know, have the band sing that song? I guess it's because he's not the singer for the band. This way he gets to sing lead on it.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good voice. You remember back in April when it was announced that Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig were pulling the plug on this Lifetime movie they were making about adoption?
Yes, we were told they were very disappointed that the word had leaked, right?
Right, because they wanted it to be a surprise. So because of that, they were not going to air the movie. And it all happened on April Fool's Day. So everybody's like, oh, they're just kidding. They would never do a project for Lifetime. Turns out we were wrong. It was called A Deadly Adoption. It was an actual Lifetime movie made for Lifetime Network. And apparently it is, in fact, going to air on Saturday, June the 20th. You'll get a chance to see A Deadly Adoption starring Kristen Wiig and Will Ferrell on Lifetime.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
The two play a well-off couple who welcome a pregnant woman into their house, played by Jessica Lowndes, in hopes of adopting her baby. And from there, apparently, things go horribly south.
This is every Lifetime movie.
It is. It is a spoof of every Lifetime movie ever made. And apparently it's very campy and very over the top and very melodramatic.
Awesome.
And I, for one, cannot wait to watch it repeatedly.
Seriously.
This is great news for football fans for the first time ever. Looks like a major internet provider is going to be live streaming a regular season game of football.
Not the Dolphins, though, right?
Sadly, yes. No, I'm kidding.
How dare you?
It is going to be a live stream of the Buffalo Bills versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, Dolphins look pretty good now.
Jeez.
It is going to be part of the NFL's International Series game. It'll be one of the London games in October. But it's the first time, for free, you'll be able to stream an NFL game on any device. You go to Yahoo or Yahoo Sports or Yahoo Screen or Tumblr. All these reach collectively about a billion users per month. You go there on the 25th of October on Sunday, and you'll be able to watch the game free. Okay. So apparently NFL dipping its toe in the waters to see if maybe some sort of deal with one of these major internet providers would be lucrative for them to live stream their game so you can watch it on your phone or your tablet or wherever you may be.
Ralph, I know you don't know the answer to this, neither do I, but I'm just wondering, why is the NFL trying so hard to make American football happen in England?
Yeah, I don't understand those London games either. It's silly.
I mean, I know that they, if
I mean,
it catches
they eventually
on,
they want to have a franchise. There's what they want. They want to have.
They're hoping for a fan base. Yeah,
no, not a fan base. They want a team there. They want they want international teams, international football teams. They want
zero
the
London.
They want the London Monarchs to play. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles at someday. Sometime.
Canada makes sense. Mexico makes sense. England, the rest of Europe, not so much.
I think they are overreaching. I think they are extending themselves too far. Because
I can't imagine you're happy if they come to you and say, hey, the schedule's out. You got to go to England this year. I can't imagine any NFL team is pleased with that noise.
No,
that noise,
no.
News,
you
right?
got to travel and you get jet lagged and that throws your practices all off. It's just a nightmare. I do not understand it. It's just greed. To make it internationally is crazy. And like you mentioned, why not stretch into Canada first or Mexico or
right.
someplace where at least you can manage the time.
Stay in the time zones, yeah.
It's nuts. And Caitlyn Jenner, of course, still in the news. The big cover of her appearing on Vanity Fair magazine. It's been a big deal this week. Turns out Caitlyn wasn't her first choice for her name. Initially, she wanted to be Heather or Kathy. That would be lame. Caitlyn works better for her. Here's the rub, though. Caitlyn Jenner, in her previous life as Bruce Jenner, was a member of the Sherwood Country Club in Thousand Oaks, California. Very swanky deal up there, the Sherwood Country Club.
Uh-huh.
Bruce used to play golf there all the time, and they all assume now that Caitlyn is beginning her life, she will play golf there as well. Here's the only thing. The place is very old school, and doesn't allow women in the dining room or the bar. So that what will Caitlyn Jenner do now if she can't eat with her friends at lunch in the dining room or go into the bar?
Maybe that will be the push they need to show how ridiculous that policy is. Look, here's the same person who was good enough for your standards for the last 40 years.
Nope.
How are they not now that they've had a surgery?
Because she's lesser now. She's a woman. She's
apparently, according to the country club, yes.
They plan to enforce this policy, by the way. So Caitlyn will not be welcome in the dining room or in the bar.
But she gets to keep her same handicap, though. Or does that get wiped away? Because that's very important at these clubs.
Well, Caitlyn can start playing from the ladies' tees now.
That's right.
So her handicap's going to plummet. Yeah, absolutely. Come on, Allie. You know how it rolls.
How dare you.
That's unbelievable, Ralph, in 2015, to hear that a policy like that still exists.
Isn't that crazy? Who would want to belong to a place like that?
Right, exactly. You saw Mike Huckabee's very sensitive remarks about transgender yesterday, right?
This douchebag. What did he say? He wished he could have said he was transgender so he could shower with the women in high school?
Yes.
Because that's what it's about, Mike.
Because all you have to do is say I'm transgender. You can go into any shower or bathroom you want.
Once again, Mike, you have captured the zeitgeist of the American populace while you're standing by Josh Duggar. Huckabee came out in favor of Josh Duggar, said, we all make mistakes.
Yep.
Son of a bitch. Today's celebrity birthdays. Slayer guitarist Kerry King is 51 years old today. Actor James Purefoy is 51. Anderson Cooper turns 48. Anderson.
Sorry.
I'm just trying to get through the celebrity birthdays. Do you mind?
Let him finish.
Just pull it together, man. You're an embarrassment.
So unprofessional.
Unbelievable.
Sorry.
You should be sorry. All I did was announce your birthday. Why is it so funny? Why are you laughing? I'm fed up with this.
Okay.
We'll do it live.
Sorry, this actually never happened to me.
Well, it shouldn't happen to you.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, see, this is everything.
48-year-old man. You should be able to pull yourself together.
Seriously, you're the face of the network, Cooper. Come on.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry.
You should be sorry.
Okay.
Can we please move forward
sounds
now?
Sounds like he's done.
Imogen Poots turns 26 years old today. And I'm sorry it took us so late in the show to recognize the birthday of Denise Williams. She, of course, a wildly popular singer-songwriter. Most of her big hits were in the 80s, I guess. She had a smash hit on the Footloose soundtrack called Let's Hear It for the Boy back in 1984. I wonder what it would sound like if a DJ were to talk about that.
Is your foot loose, by the way?
Yes, and I've been trying to keep it under control for the longest time.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
You son of a bitch. By the way, son of a bitch.
I've got so much soul when I'm playing along with the beat of that song, though, with and I'm really getting into it.
Play the other version. You have the other version, too, Chip? The other version with the Footloose, lame-bass Footloose comedy in it?
So good, I used it more than once.
PGC, I still love that song. From Nisi. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
Enough from you, Allie.
Yeah, she bean. I wonder if she thinks it's funny. How dare you, sir? And first of all, if you did sprain your ankle, your foot would not be loose. It would be the opposite of loose. It would be very tight and tender and hard to move.
So I
reject you on all angles of this story.
I accept your scorn. I do. I'm not defending it. I just apologize that the tape exists and that we all had to hear.
Hall of Fame.
Let's talk about tomorrow's all new Kevin and Bean show because I think it's going to be good.
I'm Ralph Garman.
Dr. Drew.
Yeah, Dr. Drew, the one who gets the teenagers pregnant on that Teen Mom show. He'll be joining us at 9 o'clock tomorrow for his weekly visit. Our friend Jim Rome on the show talking about sports tomorrow. The great Scott Aukerman, actor and podcaster and host of comedy Bang Bang, is going to be joining us on the program tomorrow. And we will definitively, with your help, Ralph Garman, definitively determine what are the number 2, 3, 4, and 5 best James
and
Bond
one.
Themes of all time. Well,
and
number
one.
One's Live and Let Die. But that, once you get past
not,
McCartney.
That's not just fact. That is up for debate, and it will be debated
what
tomorrow.
What is number 2, 3, 4, and 5? We heard from so many listeners with so many different suggestions. You're going to have your way with our list. That's tomorrow morning.
Red
and
an all-new
Bean's Death Corner on the program tomorrow, too. And what's up with Chet Hayes? That's a question that will be answered as well. We'll see you Thursday on the world-famous K-Rock.